We're going to start off tonight talking about Colossians chapter 2 for a moment. Paul, in arguing that the old law was not in effect, gives a conclusion in Colossians chapter 2. So Colossians chapter 2 and in verse 16. He says, "Therefore, no one is to act as your judge in regard to food or drink or in respect to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath day, things which are a mere shadow of what is to come, but the substance belongs to Christ." It's interesting if you start thinking about it. There are reasons why the Israelites were told to worship the way they worshiped. Their worship foreshadowed both things in the Christian age and actually in the age to come in heaven. There was a reason why God wanted Israel to follow his instructions very carefully. In Hebrews chapter 8, in Hebrews chapter 8 and starting at verse 4, it says, "Now, if he were on earth, he would not be a priest at all." That's talking about Jesus. "Since there are those who offer gifts according to the law, who serve as copy and shadow of heavenly things. Just as Moses had warned by God when he was about to erect the tabernacle, for see," he says, "that you make all things according to the pattern which was shown to you in the mountain. But now he has obtained a more excellent ministry by as much as he is also the mediator of a better covenant, which has been enacted on better promises." Moses was to follow the pattern that God gave them exactly because what he was doing shadowed was a copy of heavenly things. And God wanted those things to be represented accurately. Now we're going to focus tonight on the Sabbath day and see what was being shadowed, what was being foreshadowed. In Exodus 20, Exodus 20, and starting at verse 8, it says, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male or your female servant, or your cattle, or your sojourner who stays with you. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy." The seventh day of the week, the last day of the week, Saturday we call it today, was a day that was set apart as something special to God. In fact, in Exodus 31, Exodus chapter 31, and in verse 13, "But as for you, speak to the sons of Israel, saying, you shall surely observe my Sabbaths, for this is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. Therefore you are to observe the Sabbath, for it is holy to you. Everyone who profanes it shall be put to death, for whoever does any work on it, that person shall be cut off from among his people. For 6 days work may be done, but on the seventh day there is a Sabbath, a complete rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day shall be put to death. So the sons of Israel shall observe the Sabbath to celebrate the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the sons of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, but on the seventh day he ceased from labor and was refreshed." So God declares that the Sabbath, the seventh day, was a sign between Israel and God. It was a representation. It showed that God had set them apart as a special people. Because it was special, it was not to be profaned. It was not to be defiled. And like the other Ten Commandments, it carries a death penalty. A lot of people forget about that. Everybody wants the Ten Commandments. But they forget that all the Ten Commandments carried a death penalty with it, including this one. If the Sabbath wasn't observed, it was a death penalty. And there were people that were put to death for not observing the Sabbath. But God also emphasized it was to be perpetually kept as part of the covenant. Though the covenant itself was not permanent, but as long as the covenant was in place, this Sabbath was to be kept. In Hosea, Hosea chapter 2, and in verse 11, Hosea chapter 2, and in verse 11, I will put an end to all her gaiety, her feast, her new moons, her Sabbath, and all her festival assemblies. It was predicted to eventually end. But until that point, it was to be perpetually kept. In fact, take a look at Isaiah chapter 66. Isaiah 66 and verse 23. It shall be from new moon to new moon, and from Sabbath to Sabbath, all mankind will come to bow down before me, says the Lord. Every Sabbath was to be kept. Every new moon was to be kept. All these rituals were to be done. But he says, don't profane it. Don't defile it in any way. Now, how is it that the Sabbath could be defiled? Well, one way is by profaning the day, that is by treating it as any other day. That's why they were forbidden to work on that day. That made the day different than any other day. Take a look at Isaiah 56. Isaiah 56, verse 2. How blessed is the man who does this, and the son of man who takes hold of it, who keeps from profaning the Sabbath and keeps his hand from doing any evil. This is another way that people could profane it. This is a day holy to God. To sin on, of all the days of the week to sin on, to sin on the day that God set apart as holy, well, that was profaning the Sabbath. Because people did that all the time. This is to be a special day. And Isaiah 58, look at verse 13. It is because of the Sabbath you turn your foot from doing your own pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight and the holy day of the Lord honorable, and honor it, detesting your own ways from seeking your own pleasures and speaking your own words. Then you will delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride on the heights of the earth, and I'll feed you with the heritage of Jacob, your father, and for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Again, this is a day for honoring God. And God says, will you profane the day if you do your own thing? You start picking out what you want to do, and you put that as a priority. Well, how is the Sabbath any special by doing that? This was a day to show respect to God by foregoing your own desires. And God said this is the reason why he was angry with Israel in Malachi chapter 1. Malachi chapter 1 and verse 10. Oh, that there were one among you who would shut the gates, that you would not use uselessly kindle fire on my altar. I am not pleased with you, says the Lord of hosts, nor will I accept an offering from you. For from rising of the sun even to his setting, my name will be great among the nations, and in every place incense is going to be offered to my name, a grain offering that is pure for my name there will be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts. But you are profaning it in that you say, oh, the table of the Lord is defiled, for it is fruit and his food is to be despised. You also say, my, how tiresome it is, and you disdainfully sniff at it, says the Lord of hosts. And you bring what is taken by robbery and what is lame or sick, so that you bring in the offering. Should I receive that from your hand, says the Lord? What I want you to notice is what God's angry about is the worship of God is no longer special. It's seen as a chore. It's saying they were looking at it saying, we got to do this again. And God is not being honored by that. Instead of giving God things that were special of value to them, they were giving things that they didn't want. Or things that were even stolen. But like we said at the beginning, the Sabbath represents something in the future. As Christians, our worship is not on the seventh day. It's on the first day of the week. In Acts chapter 20, Acts 20 and in verse 7, on the first day of the week, when we are gathered together to break bread, Paul began to talking to them, intending to leave the next day, and he prolonged his message until midnight. It mentions the first day of the week was the day when Christians came together to partake of the Lord's Supper, to break bread. We know that Paul's not talking about, or Luke is not talking about, a common meal, an everyday meal, when he says break bread, because this is done once a week. I don't know too many people that eat once a week. This is something that was done just once a week. And we also know that this is something that's not to be skipped. Just like the Sabbath was told, don't skip this. Take a look at Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 and in verse 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together as the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Don't make a habit of skipping this. It's important for us for the encouragement, but like the Sabbath, this is a day for us to worship. And that gathering is also to be something special. Take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians 11, look at verse 17. But in giving this instruction, I do not praise you, because you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For in the first place, when you come together as a church, I hear that divisions exist among you, and in part I believe it. The Corinthians were not treating their gatherings on this Lord's Day as something special. See, this is, we don't defile our time before God with sin. And especially this sin, which we talked about this morning, the sin of dissension is something God finds disgusting. Coming before God for worship and having division and dissension, that's defiling the worship. This gathering is to emphasize the fellowship, the joining together of believers. Back up to chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, look at verse 16. Is not the cup of blessing which we bless a sharing of the body of Christ? Is not the bread which we break a sharing in the body of Christ? Therefore, Since there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of that one bread. Our gathering together to partake of the Lord's Supper, the emphasis there is that we are one, we're united, we're sharing. And look again down at chapter 11, look at starting in verse 20. Therefore, when you meet together, he's saying they is not the Lord's, to eat the Lord's Supper, for in eating, each one of you takes his own supper first, and one is hungry and another is drunk. They weren't doing this together. And it was defiling the purpose of the worship. And look at down at verse 33. So then, my brethren, when you come together, wait for one another. Do this as a group. That's why we set apart a time for us to do this together. And also notice that this observance of the Lord's Supper is not to be treated like a common meal. You don't treat this as something every day. In verse 22, going back to chapter 11, verse 22, what, do you not have houses in which to eat and drink? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you? In this I will not praise you. And I want you to notice that word despise. That's the same word that was used in Malachi chapter 1, verse 12, where they said they despise the Lord's table, the altar. Don't despise what God has set aside. This is not something common. This is not a meal like you have at home. In fact, again, in chapter 11, look at verse 34. If anyone is hungry, let him eat at home so that you will not come together for judgment. The remaining matters I will arrange when I come. If you're hungry, that's what home's for. That's where food's at. This is something different. The Lord's Supper is something special. And it's to be treated as something different and something special. Now, the Sabbath also was a day for reading the Scripture. In fact, take a look at Acts chapter 15 and verse 21. For Moses, from ancient generations, has in every city those who preach him, since he is read in the synagogues every Sabbath. Every Sabbath, they would read the Scriptures. Well, guess what? That brought focus of the worship on God. That put the focus on God's wondrous teachings. And when we worship together, we're to do the same thing. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, 1 Timothy chapter 4, and in verse 11, prescribe and teach these things. Let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity. Show yourself an example of those who believe. Until I come, give attention to the public reading of the Scripture, to exhortation and teaching. Notice that it was a part of their worship. The public reading of the Scriptures. Again, it puts focus on God and His teachings. The Sabbath was also a day of remembrance. We read in Exodus 20 in verse 11 that it was to remember that the Lord had created, to remind them of the creation. Interestingly, when we become Christians, we are made new creatures, or a new creation, when we're baptized. Take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and look at verse 17. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now, these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gives us a ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against him. He has committed to us the word of reconciliation. We are made into new creatures. We're recreated by baptism. Boom, we become Christians. Now consider that the creation was something God did one time, in one time period, and then he stopped or rested. This is why God said to the Israelites, do not do any work. In fact, go back to Exodus 20 for a moment. Exodus 20 and verse 9. So 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work. No one's to do work. Not even the animals were to do work. You know, that's a novel idea for a group of people that just spent 400 years in slavery. You know, slaves don't get to pick what day that they get a break on, if they get a break at all. They don't get vacations. They don't get holidays. They don't get paid time and a half. A day of worship that required no work was especially meaningful to a society of former slaves. Now consider also that Christ freed us from our sins and offered himself just once. In Hebrews chapter 7, Hebrews chapter 7, and in verse 26. Hebrews 7, verse 26. For it is fitting for us to have such a high priest, holy, innocent, undefiled, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens, who does not need daily, like those high priests, to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people, because he did this once for all when he offered up himself. And it's in the partaking of the Lord's Supper that we proclaim Jesus' sacrifice to the world. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and in verse 26, for as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Our worship sets us apart from the world as we give praise for what he has graciously done for us. This is what makes it special. We are remembering that Christ died for us and set us free, gave us rest from our sins in that sense. But the Sabbath is also a day of rest. In Hebrews chapter 4, Hebrews chapter 4, starting with verse 1, therefore let us fear if, while a promise remains of entering his rest, any one of you may seem to come short of it. For indeed we had good news preached to us, just as they also. But the word they heard did not profit them, because it was not united by faith in those who heard. For we who have believed enter that rest, just as he said, I swore my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. although his work were finished from the foundation of the world. For he said somewhere concerning the seventh day, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again in this passage, they shall not enter my rest. Therefore it remains for some to enter it. And those who formerly had good news preached to them failed to enter because of disobedience. He again fixes a certain day today, saying through David, after so long a time as just had been said before, today if you hear his voice and do not harden your hearts, for if Joshua had given them rest, he would not have spoken of another day after that. So there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For the one who has entered his rest has himself also rested from his works, just as God did from his. Therefore, let us be diligent to enter that rest, so that no one will fail through following the same example of disobedience. From Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7, all the way down to chapter 4, verse 11, we didn't read the whole thing, is a commentary on a passage out of Psalms 95. In fact, let's just turn back there again. Psalms 95, and we're going to read the original. Psalms 95, and we're going to start with verse 7. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as at Meribah, as in the day of Massah in the wilderness. When your fathers tested me, they tried me, though they had seen my work. For 40 years I loathed that generation and said, they are a people who err in their heart, and they do not know my ways. Therefore I swore my anger, truly they shall not enter into my rest. Well, what rest was the psalmist talking about here? The Hebrew writer says it could not have been Israel's weekly Sabbath. Even though the word Sabbath means rest. During the journey to the promised land, Israel was keeping the Sabbath. They were resting on that day. In fact, we have records of people who were punished when the Sabbath was broken during the wilderness wanderings. For instance, in Numbers chapter 15. Numbers 15 and in verse 32. Now while the sons of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man gathering wood on the Sabbath day. And those who found him gathering wood brought him to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation, and they put him in custody because it had not been declared what should be done to him. Then the Lord said to Moses, the man shall surely be put to death. All the congregation shall stone him with stones outside the camp. And so the congregation brought him out of the camp and stoned him to death with stones, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. Were they keeping the Sabbath? Yes, somebody broke it. They died. It was important. And yet, in Psalms 95, God said they would not enter his rest and sent them wandering in the wilderness. So he can't be talking about Sabbath days. The other thing that we need to know is there's only one rest being talked about. There's only one rest under discussion here. Greek is a very precise language. We can learn a lot by paying close attention to its many forms of uses of words. Throughout this section in Hebrews 4, the word rest and Sabbath are in their singular form. There's just one rest being talked about here. There's one particular rest or Sabbath that the writer of Hebrews has in mind. And again, a weekly observance of multiple rests would then be addressed as a plural. But it's not in plural, it's singular. Well, maybe you think, well, it's the promised land. That's what God's talking about. They couldn't enter the promised land after the wilderness wandering. And the passage in Psalm does refer back to the time when God denied the Israelites entrance into Canaan. in Numbers chapter 14. Look at verse 20. Numbers 14, starting with verse 20. So the Lord said, I have pardoned them according to your word, but indeed as I live, all the earth will be filled with the glory of the Lord. Surely all the men who have seen my glory and my signs, which I performed in Egypt and in the wilderness, yet you have put me to the test these 10 times and have not listened to my voice, shall by no means see the land which I swore to their fathers, nor shall any of those who spurn me see it. And these people died in their unbelief, so they could not rest from their wanderings. Now, the Hebrew writer is using this event as an allegory to teach an idea to Christians. See, we, like the Israelites, must be careful lest we're unable to enter our promised rest, our land of promise, because of unbelief. Since Israel couldn't enter the promised land, there must be something yet remaining. That's the argument he's making. See, Joshua led Israel into the promised land, and God gave Israel rest. In Joshua chapter 23, Joshua 23, and in verse 1, now it came about after many days, when the Lord had given rest to Israel from all their enemies on every side, and Joshua was old and advanced in years. See, God gave them rest. But Psalms 95 was written by David. That's what the Hebrew writer points out. That's long after Canaan. And yet David said today. He wrote that about 500-600 years later. And he says, today? And so the argument is that Psalms 95 is not about entering Canaan, because it would have been in the past that they had entered the rest. It used the rebellion, the wilderness wanderings, as an example, but he's saying there's another rest in mind. There's another rest that's being applied here. Well, perhaps you might think, well, we're already in that rest. But the Hebrew writer argues it can't be something in this world. See, God rested from his creation on the seventh day. That's what we're told in Genesis 2, verses 1 through 3. He did not take up that work of creating again on the eighth day or any day following that. In other words, we're still in God's rest. He hasn't done more creation since the beginning. Therefore, in the true sense, we're living in God's rest right now. But since God speaks of not entering his rest at a later time, then this world can't be what God has in mind either. You're not going to find rest here. There's a single Sabbath rest, which remains in each Christian's future, which he must diligently work in order to enter into it. And that rest is promised. Take a look at 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. And in verse 8, for bodily discipline is only of a little profit, but godliness is profitable for all things, since it holds a promise for the present life and for the life to come. Living godly has a promise of a life to come, a promise of eternal life. Is a promise of an eternal inheritance. Take a look at Hebrews chapter 9 and in verse 15. For this reason, he is a mediator of a new covenant, so that since a death has taken place for the redemption of the transgression that were committed under the first covenant, those who have been called may receive the promise of eternal inheritance. And Peter also mentions of a promise of new heavens and new earth, 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 13. But according to his promise, we are looking for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. In other words, the rest that we are all longing for is our home in heaven. In Revelation chapter 14 and in verse 13. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, so that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds follow after them. Now, we just went very rapidly through. You know, the Sabbath day was a symbol, in a sense, a representation, a foreshadowing of our worship as Christians. It's a foreshadowing of the Lord's Supper, in a sense. It's a foreshadowing of heaven itself. It's a day of remembrance, just like we have a remembrance. I doubt the Israelites understood all the intricate details of what their weekly worship was supposed to represent. Rather, it was just told to them, and God emphasized, that they were to follow the pattern. And you know what? There are reasons why our worship is conducted in the way that it is done. See, it is the reality of the shadows done in the Old Testament. That's why we do it this way. But our worship is also rich and meaningful concerning our future. Take a look at Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3 and in verse 17. Brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern that you have in us. We're told the same thing. Follow the pattern. Do it the way God said. Why? For the same reason the Israelites had to. It represents things. Are we following the pattern God established? Are you prepared to enter his rest? Or will you be like the Israelites who rebelled and attempted to establish their own worship and go against the pattern God had laid out? The consequences are severe. If there's anyone here today who wishes to become a child of God, there is no better time than right now to put on Christ. For those of you who are children of God and would like to praise your brother on behalf, why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the psalm that was selected.